Did you watch the last Super Bowl? How about the World Series or the NBA Finals? You probably watched it on a screen, right? Well, imagine being there in person, witnessing sports history through your lens. That is what successful sports photographer Matt Brown, who is here with us today, does for a living. Thanks for tuning in to kpcradio.com. Today is Monday, April 17th. I'm your host, Skylar Lester, and you're listening to Exposure, where we shine light on notable figures in the world of photography. Today's guest, Matt Brown, has photographed legends like Magic Johnson, Vin Scully, and Tony Hawk, and his images have been seen in numerous national sports publications, including Sports Illustrated and ESPN Magazine. Hey, Matt, thank you so much for coming all the way from Fullerton to see us today.
Skylar, thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could come in. So can you give us a little bit of background? How is it that you got your start in photography?
My father was tired of me stealing his camera. So at 8, he got me a subscription to Sports Illustrated, and it came with a plastic camera. And so from there, it was like head over heels in love.
Wow. So the plastic camera, was it like 35 millimeter film?
Yeah, it was 35 millimeter film. There was absolutely no glass in it at all. It was all plastic, even the lens. It was god awful. So I would spend my $2 a week on film, take it down to the little Fox photo lab, and then wait a week to get my photos back. And I was taking pictures of my brother, skateboarding, my other brother, our Star Wars figures, anything I could possibly take pictures of.
Wow. Yeah. That's so cool. So, and you definitely have an eye for sports, sports photography. That seems to be your specialty. What was it that got you into sports photography specifically?
I have a love for sports. I played it all through as a kid. I was very fortunate that in high school, one of the Booster Club presidents was Joe Kennedy of the LA Times. And so he would give me all kinds of advice. I would drive him nuts and bother him, like, Joe, what are you doing this? Well, how can I do that? And he would show me all kinds of things. And then fortunately, back in the day, we used to have a La Habra Star newspaper. And Jack Hancock and Stan Bird were the photographers there. Mm-hmm. So when they would come to events, I would ask them, like, hey, what black and white chemistry are you using? What are you doing this and that? And so I was very much a questions ask, I want to know, what can you give me kind of guy. And so I would ask anybody anything when I was early on.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned the chemistry. So you were still shooting film back then. Do you shoot film now or mostly digital?
I probably shoot a roll or two a year. I still have some film cameras in my closet that sit up there in the office, but it's very rare. It's almost always digital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's sad, but that's just the way it is.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, now I think I have to wait. My photo girl that I use at Fullerton Photo, I have to wait either a month or two for her to get enough film to do an actual process.
Wow. It's so small, yeah.
So small. So sad.
It is, yeah, it's such a shame. It really is. But at least we live in Los Angeles where we do have access to those things, even though they're hard to find.
Yeah, if we were in Billings, Montana, we'd be no good.
I mean, exactly.
There's no processor there.
You better learn how to do it yourself in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So as far as sports photography, I mean, are you yourself a big sports fan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Football's my love. I love track and field. But yeah, I have shot and seen all the sporting events. I absolutely have a love for it. I mean, I play catch with my boys in the backyard. We used to have a basketball hoop until my oldest son tore it down. Yeah, we go to the beach and surf and play in the water, and sports has been a huge part of the family that I have. And we have a competitive bocce ball tournament during the 4th of July. So yeah, I can say sports is kind of family involved.
Definitely. That's awesome. So not only do you photograph sporting events, you also participate.
Yes. Yes.
And watch.
Yes.
So it's a big part of your life.
Yeah. My wife knew nothing about sports when we met, and now she has totally got it. My kids are in it. So yeah, sports
she's
are
the number
big
one fan now.
Yeah. She gets it. She understands now what a Mike linebacker does at a football game in a 4-3.
Mm-hmm. Are you proud?
Yeah, very much so.
Do you have a favorite sport to photograph?
It would be football.
It would be football.
I played it throughout football. I love the fact that it starts in late summer, ends in the winter. I've shot games where it's 105. I've shot games where it's, you know, minus zero. Football is amazing, where it teaches you so many things. The camaraderie, the beating the snot out of each other, to me, that is just, there's always something to photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Always something
to photograph. Very visually interesting.
Right, yeah. I mean, I've done Days in a Life with little freshman football teams to the Super Bowl. So you get a football game going and I'll take pictures.
Awesome. What what are some of the most exciting football games you've attended?
John Elway winning his first down in San Diego, the Super Bowl. That was pretty awesome. Actually, like I said, I had mentioned the freshman football game when I was shooting for the Register at one point. We photographed Anaheim High School and we followed their freshman football team. And then we came back 4 years later and with those same guys, we shot them as seniors. And we did portraits of them as these little pudgy 14-year-olds. And now they're almost grown men, 17, 18 years old. And so we did myself, Marcia Smith, and I did a four-year gap of, like, their life. And it was probably the most interesting because to see, you know, we forget how you in 4 years, to us it seems quick, and for them it seems like an eternity. Mm-hmm. Those experiences, it was pretty awesome.
That is really cool. You
know, everybody would think, like, what? You're not talking about the Super Bowl or when the Atlanta Falcons just choked? And it's like, no, actually a high school football game was probably, like, one of my greatest moments.
That is so neat, though, to show that kind of growth.
Yeah, and it happened during September 11th. So that's, like, another huge milestone when you're a little kid and, like, 16 and the world's changing for all that to happen. Yeah, it was – and I started shooting at film. And then digital came along, and there 4 years later, I was shooting at digital.
Oh, that's really cool. So that changed, that kind of furthers the point.
Yeah, here. Changed me.
Wow.
Yeah, I got total access. It was great. It was fantastic.
That is very cool.
You don't get that all the time.
Yeah, definitely. What is it like for you being the director of photography for the Los Angeles Angels?
That used to be my position.
No longer?
Right, no longer. End of the season, several of us got laid off, and I was one of the lucky lotto winners. But it was for 4 years, it was the hardest I've ever worked. Mm-hmm. I would do it again in a heartbeat. It was fantastic. I worked with some great people, some young kids, my interns. Robert Husky was my photo editor. It was a great experience. I got to see the inside, be the inner circle, like being there when Mike Trout's getting engaged and then Albert Pujols hitting 500 home runs. So it was like, there's no bit more of an inner circle than that.
Yeah.
I have photographed photos that will never see the light of day, but that were taken. When you take pictures of Mike Trout getting his hair cut to, you know, guys getting off the Penn Station in New York at 3 a.m. and then us walking onto the bus and there's nobody around and nobody cares who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable experience.
Cool. So aside of the sports players that you don't usually see, a more personal side for sure.
Yeah. There's 25 of us, there's coaches and I got to travel and you see their lives in a whole different way.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of them were photographers. Howie Kendrick, who was with the Angels at the time, was a big photo guy. C.J. Wilson was a big photo guy. So we'd go out when I'd travel with them, and we'd go, and Howie and I walked through D.C. and took pictures, and C.J. and I walked through, you know, Seattle and San Francisco and took pictures. And so it was fun exposing them to how to properly be a photographer instead of taking happy snaps.
Yeah, for sure, to share the love of photography with somebody.
Yeah, it was great.
That is very cool.
You can only be in a hotel for so long and watch so much of, you know, C-SPAN.
Right, exactly.
Nothing wrong with C-SPAN.
But you can get out there and be hands-on and teach what you already
and take
know
pictures.
And love.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it was fantastic.
It's a good way to spend your time.
Yes.
So you have photographed Shaq and Kobe. Do you ever get nervous around these huge sports legends?
I don't get nervous around Kobe. I do get nervous around Shaq because he is a grown man, but he's really a child. Like, he's a child. I've always said that if I could leave my kids with somebody, it would be with Shaq to babysit. My biggest fear is that he'd eat too much ice cream and play too many video games. I met him in an accident in 97 during the NBA playoffs. With the Register, and Mike Goulding wanted to switch positions, and one thing led to another. Shaq gets pushed out of bounds, lands on top of me, and I crack 3 ribs.
Oh my goodness.
And then from there we became friends, which is a really difficult way to become friends, but it's a big thing. I'm a big relationship builder kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And we built a relationship through that, and I was able to take many a portraits throughout the year and hang out with him. And yeah, he's awesome.
That's yeah. so crazy.
He's a big kid. A big kid.
So he has a lot of energy during the shoots.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're talking a multimillionaire, right? And so one of my shoots was, it was during the lockout in 99. I asked him I wanted to do him in a Superman outfit, so I bought a huge size. And you and I have no problem going and getting clothes. When you have a size 22 shoe, you can't just go out and buy socks anywhere. So right. you can't just go out and buy a t-shirt for a man who's 7'1", 300 pounds. So I had to get a specially 6X size t-shirt with a Superman logo on it.
Wow.
And then my mom helped me stitch it onto his basketball jersey, which the Lakers did not give me because I was going to cut open. So I had to buy one, which was, I think, a 68 size jersey.
Oh, my gosh.
Gigantic. Split it open so it looks like Superman's tearing away his top and showing mm-hmm. his S, and that's what he was doing. Right? Multimillionaire. I showed it to him. He runs around like a kid at Christmas. Like, he was so excited, so excited. We take the pictures. And he goes, I want the jersey. I want it. And I was like, oh, but I wanted to keep it. And he's like, no. I'll give you whatever else you want. And I'm like, all right. So he signed a couple balls and some stuff for me. Off he went. Same thing happens a couple years later. I have another portrait shoot with him. He's got a white tuxedo, top hat, tails, the whole thing. But he did not have a white cane. Mm-hmm. I bring the white cane to top off this photo shoot. And again, he runs around like I just gave him $1 bazillion. All I did was give him a $4 white cane. He's a child. He's awesome, though.
That sounds like a lot of yeah. fun, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could photograph him all day.
Yeah.
Like, if he was in here, we would just sit back and listen to stories.
Mm-hmm.
He would be great.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. What would you say is one of the craziest sports moments that you've witnessed or captured?
I have this weird thing about I love shooting teams losing. Mm-hmm. I think that's when it's the most real.
Mm-hmm.
I've shot Cal State Fullerton's one of my clients, and I've since the 90s, and only once have I ever gone home with them with a championship. In 2004, the men's baseball team won the NCAA tournament. They said won the championship, but my favorite photo is a year later in 2006. Ricky Romero's on that team. He was with the championship team the year before. We lose to Arizona State in the semifinals. We win that game. We go back to Omaha. He had already been drafted like a day earlier to Toronto Blue Jays. He's now going to go to the pros, make $1 million. He walks out on the mound on Sunday. Arizona State has celebrated. All their hats are scattered all over the place. The losing pitcher is out in the outfield, Vinny Pistano, a sweet, dear friend of mine. He's got his head up against the wall, and you can see the score. And Ricky walks out to the mound, kneels down, touches the mound, and realizes this is the last time he's ever going to be a student athlete. Like, mm-hmm. from this day forward, he's going to be a pro.
Mm-hmm.
I took a couple pitchers from behind and walked off. And it's like this heartbreaking moment, but to me, it's real. It's like the most real. Mm-hmm. When they won the year prior, yeah, everybody's jumping around Jason Windsor, but what's happening is I see a lot of people jumping around who didn't play in the game. Yeah, they're excited,
mm-hmm.
but those emotions get carried away. There's this one moment with Ricky, and it's real.
Mm-hmm.
I had him sign it years later, and he's like, why would you want me to sign this picture? I'm like, because it's a real beautiful moment. Yes, mm-hmm. it's heartbreaking, but it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the real.
Yeah.
When I would do stuff with ESPN or with SI, I'd always ask to shoot the losers because mm-hmm. everybody wants to shoot the championships and shoot the trophies and all this stuff.
Right.
I want to see the guy off to the side crying.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
Yeah.
Hugging sometimes. His wife and being emotional. And mm-hmm. yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot more power sometimes to that.
The ton.
Dejection shot versus
yeah.
jubilee.
Yeah.
You know, everybody sees the happy victory shot.
Right. No, I've got lots of shots people haven't seen because they're the losers, but they're beautiful moments. Mm-hmm. Beautiful moments. I've Lakers winning and losing, you know, when you shoot those ones where they're losing or you shoot other teams. Like when the Lakers beat New Jersey in Jersey, everybody's got pictures of Shaq and Kobe, but I've got pictures of Jason Kidd just losing it in the locker room.
Hmm.
Nobody's seen him. But everybody's seen Shaq and Kobe jumping up and down like a bunch of schoolgirls.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely shows a human side, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That, you know, these guys kill themselves to play these sports. Mm-hmm. And then I show up and take a picture of them.
In your opinion, what makes a compelling sports photograph?
One that you want to hang on the wall. My oldest son, Grant, would be, you know, when he was a young teenager, you could be hanging up Led Zeppelin photos or whatever, Britney Spears, whoever was the hot woman, and he would hang up my sports photos. I was figuring, mm-hmm. like, if your 13, 14-year-old son wants to hang your photos up on the wall, and that was, like, pretty cool. So when people say, you know, what photo or what do you, I think something where people want your photo on the wall mm-hmm. is special when it makes them feel or remember a moment. I think a lot of times that gets lost, especially with nowadays with social media and we're scrolling through things. We see a bazillion photos a day. How many photos do you actually have hanging on your wall that you like stop and want to look at?
Right. Yeah. Interact with regularly as yes. opposed to something you see and then forget right. about seconds later.
Right. I have, I try to do this as much as I can with my friends that I have, whether it's Mike Goulding or John Beaver or John McDonough, any of my photo friends that have taken beautiful moment photos, I want those photos. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask them, can you make me a print and sign it for me? I like to have that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of times photographers, sort of like the painter's house never painted, photographers don't have enough photos on the wall. Mm-hmm. My wife will probably attest to that, that there's not nearly enough family photos on the wall. Mm-hmm. They're taken, they're just not up on the wall. Yeah.
Okay. So your sports photos, I've noticed going through your website, a lot of them have kind of like a blurred effect to the top and bottom of the image. Are you using a tilt shift lens, or what is it that you do to achieve that look?
No. Just shooting really tight and blowing out either the foreground or background. I am notoriously, I shoot too tight. I don't know where it started. It's just one of those things I liked to shoot tighter, tighter, tighter. I mean, I guess if I sat with Freud, it might be that I got into the photo pool late and I got stuck with the 600, so I had to make it work. But I like to shoot really tight. A lot of it has to do with I want to give the viewer or the reader or the clicker or whoever's going through a website the sense that they're in the game. Mm-hmm. So with football, for instance, a lot of times people forget that on every play, there's linemen that are colliding, like a traffic accident, all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, 70, 80 times in a game. I like to shoot so tight that you only see those two guys' hands and faces colliding and touching and fighting mm-hmm. In that moment. I like to do that with boxing, too. A lot of guys shoot head to toe, and sometimes I like to shoot from the chest bone to the head mm-hmm. so I can shoot that. It's just something I want to give the reader or the viewer really put them in that place. I've always been a screamer at my TV that I think TV shoots too close at the wrong time and too wide at the wrong time. A lot of times I guess that's the director's decision, but I always want to put my viewer like they are in that play. They are right behind the guy turning the double play, or they're right in the wall in the pool with the swimmer.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean it's if I can do it and I can, you know, at this age, at 45, I can still get the composition and move my hands and have good eye-hand coordination and make that work, then, yeah, I want to do it for sure. Awesome. It changes. It's a different look in the pictures. A lot of people are very wide and very storytelling, and that's great. But I've always thought if I wanted to separate myself from the pack, I want to do something different. And that's a lot of times what I was doing was shooting way too tight.
Mm-hmm. It's like more immersive, like you're actually yes. right in it.
Yeah, I want you to feel that.
That's cool.
Like you're next to those guys beating each other in the circle.
So are you mostly using telephoto lenses or yeah. what kind of equipment do you use?
I'm a Nikon guy. I shoot, you know, I've got everything from a 16 to a 600. I shot baseball the other day and I shot everything from the chest up with my 600 extremely tight. Mm-hmm. Especially nowadays with the like at Cal State Fullerton on our website, it's a horizontal shaped website for the photos, so you don't have a lot of space to give away. Mm-hmm. So I shoot really tight on one or two games just for the website. So when people are clicking or moving through, that photo's impactful. They'll stay, maybe look at the story, Just give me two more seconds to look at the photo, where nowadays everybody's just scrolling with their thumb. So I just want people to stay a second longer. It's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to achieve.
It is, yeah.
You know, you're growing up where you've seen more photos in your lifetime than, you know, my grandparents probably ever did, just because of the ability of looking at Instagram and Twitter and what's all available now.
Yeah, it's hard to... I mean, you're just consuming so much.
Right.
It's what actually sticks, what stays with you.
It's hard to get people to stop. Take a look at it. It's easy. Oh, yeah, they like it. Click it. No, stop. Look at the photo. What is going on in there? Absorb it. See what happened. I mean, there's so many photos that are taken that people get lost and they don't really realize what happened in that moment. There's a NBA photo. I forgot who took it. I think it was either John Beaver, Andy Bernstein, where Michael Jordan's shot against the Utah Jazz in Utah. It's from down court. Jordan's shooting. You can see the clock, and you can see all these hundreds of faces in the background. And you can see the agony of all these Utah people realizing the shot's going to go in. It hasn't yet, but it's going to go in. And if you look in the upper right-hand corner, there's a guy in a Michael Jordan red Bulls jersey, and he's the only guy with his hands up in the air. Everybody else has their hands on their face and is waiting for their hearts to be pulled out, stomped on the ground once again by Michael Jordan. And if you just look at that photo and you look at every single person, I would love to know what they were thinking at that moment, because you can see the heartache.
That's really fascinating. Yeah. To capture that.
Right.
And then you've got the one
person. One guy. Yeah.
So in addition to sports photography, what other kinds of work do you do?
I love portraits and I love documentary. I love to take pictures of portraits of anybody. I've been fortunate enough to do stuff of like Chick Hearns, Shaq we'd mentioned. I did this one portrait of a very young Ryan Scheckler. I think he was like 10. He was a little guy. Now he's like an international skater. He's at a TV show. At 10, I think he was making so much money that his parents couldn't use him as a dependent. He was making actually more money than his parents skating. So I think he's the same age, or he's a little young or older than my son. So I had an understanding of kids and how it was going to work, and I wanted to do this whole thing. And I spent a couple hours just hanging out with him, and then we did the portraits, and we did some stuff with all his little trophies and stuff like that. And then, you know, years later, you see him growing up as a man, and you do portraits of him now, and he's got tattoos, and he's married, and everything. So I love doing portraits. I love to get my subjects to do things they're not either used to or uncomfortable, get them to try something. I've got a couple portraits in mind that I want to do with some of the baseball players at Cal State Fullerton that I don't want to say yet until when this podcast is, but I'm going to have them do some things they're not probably going to want to do because it's going to be fun. They're going to be uncomfortable. You know, the average person's not used to having their portrait taken. They're not models where you can give me Brooke Shields and, you know, she's a beautiful woman. You can have her do anything. She's going to look great. You take a normal person, they're going to be terrified immediately. Like, oh my God, make me look good. You know? So yeah, there's, you know, I love doing portraits. I've always said, and I just spoke in Jill's class about this, is the most difficult person in the world to photograph is your mother. Right? The Pope is easy. You know, a president's easy. A dictator's easy. But if you can photograph your mom, and I've been working on my mom for like 45 years. Like, I finally got her where I can sit her down and do it. If you can have your mom do a portrait, you're good. You're good.
So have you reached that point where you feel you've achieved a good portrait of your mother?
Yeah. She'll say no. I'll say yes. And I still have, I want to do some with the grandkids with her, just with all her grandkids. So that's like my next thing.
Cool.
So yeah, like her and a bunch of just wild kids surrounding her.
And that'll hopefully make your wife happy with more portraits on
right.
the wall.
More portraits.
More family portraits.
Yes. Make the wife happy. Yeah. No, portraits are awesome. I could do that all day long. But then, like, I also did documentary. I love doing Day in the Lives. I've done a couple of the basketball teams this year. I did some stuff with the NBA. I did it when I worked with the Angels. It was kind of like Day in the Life all the time. but just documenting people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody's life. It doesn't matter if it's the radio engineer or, you know, it's a bus driver. Mm-hmm. Showing someone's life and making it interesting is always fun to me.
Yeah. And that connection you make with a person,
yes,
too.
Yeah. Because
it seems like you definitely take something away from the shoot other, right, than the pictures.
No, I did a day in the life of the La Habra Fire Department, and I was early in my career, and I have been absolutely, after that moment, at a founding, like, firemen are awesome. Like, I could not imagine running into the fire, dealing with crazy people all day long, never knowing how your day's going to go. I had an unbelievable new founding for those guys. Those guys are awesome.
Mm.
Yeah, I could never do that.
It's incredible,
yeah,
what they go through.
Oh, my God. We saw domestic violent stabbings to guys being electrocuted off of the electricity went through the heels of his feet, to leaving their food in the grocery store. Yeah, it was a great week. It was awesome.
So we are a little bit short on time.
It's okay.
But I want to make sure to definitely talk about Sports Shooter Academy.
Yes.
That you actually co-founded along with Robert Hanashiro.
Yep.
So can you tell our listeners just a little bit about what it is and when the next one's going to be?
Next one's coming up in May. Sports Shooter, Robert and I kind of created, sitting in a Dodger photo well watching Sports Illustrated's Robert Beck work. We had just come back from doing some stuff, and we thought we can make a better workshop. It's really actually making a workshop in the real world. We have them go out, shoot assignments, edit, and then it's edited by working professionals. The working professionals are also out there while they're shooting, so they can get hands-on and get things corrected or insight as it happens.
Awesome.
If there's a horn I can toot, I would, but I will say we have the best workshop in the world, Robert and I have created. We've made better photographers for the last 10 years. We have great ones. Hannah works in, you know, Minnesota, with Chris in Utah, and we've done a great job with it. I love the fact that Robert and I give back and we do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's super well known. I know, yeah, that a lot of people get a lot out of it.
No, we got great people to help us, Wally and Mike and Christy, and I love it. I'm so happy that we actually have good friends that want to give their time. God, Young's been with us forever. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure people get a chance to see some of your work. Can you give us your website URL?
Yeah, it's I have a very difficult name. It's Matt with two T's, Brown, no E at the end. So it's mattbrownphoto.com. That's my website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Super tough.
Super tough. When Joe Smith was on the Angels, when him and I would go out, we'd decide, like, who's going to give the name recognitions? We got, you know, reservations are going to be tough with Smith and Brown. You know? So, yeah, it's... Yeah, tough one. And then Instagram and Twitter are just Five Brown Crew. They started off as family Instagram, but it converted immediately into Matt's Instagram.
And that's five, the number five.
Yeah,
correct,
the number five, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, because there's five of us. We're done with kids, so six. Anybody can have six Brown Crew. That's all theirs. We're done with that.
That one's up for grabs.
Yeah, that one's up for grabs. We're not adopting. We're done. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, sadly, the buzzer has sounded, and we are all out of time for today. But I want to thank you so much, Matt, for joining us here on Exposure. Make sure to tune in next week at 1:30 p.m. I'm going to be interviewing documentary photographer and photojournalist Marissa Roth. I also want to make sure to let people know there is an event coming up that's free for students. It's called College Night at the Getty Museum. There's going to be art, food, music, and tours. It's Monday, April 24th. From 6 to 9:30 p.m. Just bring your student ID, and it will be at the Getty Center. So for KPCRadio.com, I'm your host, Skylar Lester. Have a wonderful Monday.